Thank you, Amanda. In my prayer today, I wanted to read something by Howard Thurman, The Work of Christmas Begins. Let us pray. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Lord, may the words that I say and all our thoughts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. On New Year's Eve each year, we pick out a watchword for the church. We also pick out watchwords for individuals, and if you have not received a scripture verse for the year, as you leave today, they're in the back in a basket, and we hope that these scripture verses will guide us through the year. So the verse that was chosen for our church was this: May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:5-6. And I'd like to talk about that verse. If it's going to lead us through the year, I think we should understand what it means for the Church of Jesus Christ. This is talking about how the church operates. And the church operates under one principle or a few principles, and one of them is this: that God is steadfast. Now, what does that mean? Steadfastness means sticking to something. Steadfastness means do not give up. Steadfastness is something that long-term married people know a lot about. After you say, I do, and you live with each other for a while, and you're next to each other in sickness and in health, when the job goes away, when the kids do not act the way we had hoped they would act, you know what steadfast means because you stick with each other. And that's the kind of God we serve. He is steadfast with us. Whether we're in joy or sorrow, he is steadfast with us. He sticks with us. And that's one of the hallmarks of the church, that we need to be steadfast like the God we serve. I remember in several years ago, actually it was 1997, that the church in which I was serving was going through a series of sorrows, one after the other. And this was not a church with a decent bottom line. It was a church, we were like most people, we went from paycheck to paycheck. Literally, Sunday after Sunday, we didn't know how much we would get in to survive. And then we were deluged with people that had real life problems. One day I was called by a young woman I did not know, and she said, do you have a cemetery attached to your church? I said, no, we're in an urban environment. There are no cemeteries that are attached to Moravian churches in the urban setting. And she said, oh, well, I need to bury my child. So I asked the question, well, tell me about your child. Well, the child was 7 weeks old and was being stored in a refrigerator in a funeral home because she did not have enough money to bury her son. Now, that little church didn't have it, but we took up an extra offering just so we could bury that child. That's steadfastness. When you're here to do the ministry, no matter what happens. Sometimes in churches, we get inundated with problems, people's problems, and after a while, we can get so weary that we forget that we have a God of steadfastness. God has given us 160 years of ministry, and we need to be there when somebody is in trouble. We need to demonstrate that God who is stuck by us, and we need to stick by others. That year, we buried 6 or 7 people under the age of 50. That is not what we wanted to be doing. Several of them were not people that we even knew. But every time a need was presented, we met the need. That's steadfastness. And I know in this church, there have been people who have come through these doors in such a state, and this church has risen to the occasion. That is steadfastness. We also serve a God of encouragement. Sometimes we act as if God is the taskmaster who smacks us upside the head every time we do something wrong. Now, that's the human part of us. We'll do that. But we serve a God of encouragement, that when people fail, he picks us up and he keeps us going. And this is what we need to demonstrate to the people around us, that we serve a God of encouragement, and that even when we fail, we're going to help pick people up and help them to become their better selves, the God of encouragement. Now, the next part is the fun part of this verse. May the God of steadfast and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. Now, let me tell you what harmony is not. It's not everybody shaking their heads up and down saying, oh, I agree with everything you say. It's not everybody saying, we can't fight, so we have to paste a smile on. And even if I don't agree with you, I can't say anything because that might hurt your feelings. That's being in the town of Stepford, if any of you remember that. But real people disagree. Real people have arguments. So how do you live in that tension? When I was a young pastor, we had a wonderful problem. We were having more children in Sunday school than we could accommodate. And we were trying to figure out how to configure our space so that we could accommodate these extra classes. And I came up with a great idea. I remembered that in urban settings, when the schools were overcrowded, they would have what they call portable classrooms. They were basically trailers, and they would set up classes in there. They weren't the best, but they made do. So I presented this to my board of trustees, and one of my trustees looked at me and said, Pastor, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Now, it was not delicate how he said it. He was not there to spare my feelings, so I countered, oh, yeah, you got a better idea? And he said, as a matter of fact, I do. And so we talked about his better idea, which actually was, and we set about to make that better idea work. We had a disagreement, but we didn't forget why we were there. It was not about my idea or his idea. It was about the Church of Jesus Christ going forward and ministering. Living in harmony means that we know whose we are. We are Christ Jesus, and our work together is to further his kingdom, is to bring people in who are hurting, to bring people in who need direction, to be the family of God. And when that purpose is continually before us, we are going to have disagreements. We might not be very delicate with each other, but the work of Christ will go forward, and people will see who we really are. The reason that the churches sometimes have a very difficult time bringing new folks in, it's because people can smell phonies a mile away. I still remember in the 80s when there were those huge scandals in the churches. Remember that? where the televangelists were all sinning all over themselves. And one televangelist was going to preach to his brother televangelist who was sinning, and he gets on TV and he says, "Brother, I love you." And I thought, baloney. If you loved him, you go to him and talk to him. People can smell phoniness. We want to be real. And sometimes that means we're not going to be on the same page about this issue or that. But we are always one in Christ Jesus. Let us work together. And he says that we want to be in harmony, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this year that we are people of praise. It's easy to complain. It's easy to snark when we're not happy. But it's so much better when we can say thank you. And thanksgiving is not just when the job comes through. Thanksgiving is not just when the babies are born and are healthy. Thanksgiving is not just when we celebrate some great achievement. It's thanking him in all circumstances. Because the minute we start praising, we lift ourselves beyond our circumstances into the realm of Christ Jesus himself. I thought this quote was so appropriate for me. It's by a man named Epictetus, who was a Stoic philosopher. And he said, "What can I do who am a little lame man except give praise to God?" And so this week, even as I've gimped, I've praised him. Even as I've tried to put my shoes on, I've praised him. And this is what he calls the church to do, to be people of praise. We praise him that he is steadfast, that he hasn't left us when we've been in distress. We praise him for his encouragement. We praise him that he's given us this ministry. We praise him even when we're in mourning. We praise him for the gift of sorrow. And we praise him for the gift of joy. What a joy it is to serve Jesus. And I hope that this year, as a body of believers, we can come to know that God of steadfastness, that God who has never left our side, that we come to know that God of encouragement, that we come to be unified even when we disagree, and that we come to praise our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, always. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you for the gift that we have to bear with each other in our sorrows and to rejoice with each other. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have called us into this body. I ask, Lord, that this year would be a year when folks from all over, especially in the summertime when our visitors come among us, that they would see the joy, the peace, the hope, and most especially the love of God in us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.